Right now it is time for Appraise This. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. They join us on a Tuesday morning here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, TQAG.com is Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. And I do believe we have Greg with us this morning. Greg, is that you?
Oh, yeah, you should have Tim as well.
I do not have Tim. I see no Tim.
Well, he's in the other room waiting.
It says he's meant to be hooked up, but he's not. He's not. I'll have to see if I can add him to right now here.
Well, you have to do your magic.
Here we go. Click again, add. Now it should be ringing where he is. Oh, there it is.
Well, no, wait. That's ringing on his computer in the office.
Oh.
So I'm not sure.
Well, sooner or later that'll stop. Well, I can't. I don't know what's going on then.
Oh, you know what? I'll have him call in because he'll be able to. Hang on one sec. So technology, right. It's a blessing or a curse.
Yes. Well, it reminds me of an old joke, but it's the Me Too year. Fine. So, well, we can't say what the old joke is. But anyway.
Okay. It's coming in on your computer there.
Yeah. So that's right, because it's coming on the computer because he left the computer on and up. That's why.
But he's sitting here waiting, and I say, call in. There he goes.
We'll see what happens. There.
Well, you got him?
No, I don't hear him. Nope. Okay. Oh, now I've got a camera. Is that you, Tim?
Well, hey. Yes, it there is. You are. I just turned it over.
There we go. Well, it's a rocky start this morning.
Fabulous. It's the full moon.
Why not? That's exactly right.
I just want to say it's warmer here than it is there.
Well,
although we're having a cold snap, and you know what happens in Florida when it gets to 70 degrees. People think it's the middle of winter.
The snowsuits come out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, it's going to get a lot colder than that here, but it's nice to have you guys here to warm us up this morning.
That's right. That's what we do. We love to do that every Tuesday around this time.
So I have been conspicuously or inconspicuously absent from has somebody made a ton of money that I don't know about by finding something in their garage?
Well, there is a great sale that's coming up in two days at Julian's, and it's both online and it will also be live in the gallery, and it's the title of the sale is a Southern Gentleman's Collection, the personal property of Goodman Basil Espy the Third, MD. Now that is, can you imagine that business card? the collection, it's very eclectic. He has all kinds of things, but some of the things of note that we've talked about in the past is certain celebrities who continue to perform well, and one of them naturally is Marilyn. He had a number of Marilyn items, and there are a couple very interesting ones that are worth mentioning. In 1954, Marilyn Monroe went to perform for the troops in Korea. So before she went, she had to get an ID. So they gave her a Department of Defense ID. What is that noise?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was me. Go ahead.
Okay. So her Department of Defense ID with, of course, the photograph doesn't look like anything like on our driver's licenses. We all look like criminals. She looks fabulous. Anyway, it's estimated at 70,000 to 80,000, and before the auction has even begun, it's already online up to $17,000. So I think this is going to be one of the things that is going to really go crazy, and we'll have to follow up with that next week after the auction is over. And one of the other interesting things that's up for auction, and the estimate is $25,000 to $30,000, and it's already at 8,000, and it's her personal address book. And as you thumb through it, it's interesting because, you know, now we have area code 772 and then our phone number 1234568. Well, back in those days, it was two letters and a four-digit number. So it would be like Plaza 1234. So if you look in there, all of these people, Louis B. Mayer, there's some of the other people that the Goldwyn Studio, Sam Goldwyn, all of these people, their phone numbers are listed in here. And the estimate, as I said, is 25 to 30, and it's already up to 8,000, and the auction hasn't even begun. So I think this is going to be one of those things that is also going to be a fun item to bid on.
Well, and also I think that what plays into this is the provenance that goes into this. Dr. Espy has been collecting for quite some time. Even when I was at Christie's in the 90s, he was a contender, and he also was interested in just a it's an eclectic collection, just a different group of things. And, you know, it's I think the provenance, he's taken care of it, he's held on to it. And now he's starting to divest it. So I think that plays into it. And that's that whole circle of collecting that we'd like to talk about.
Well, there's another really cool item that is going to be up. And it's Lou Gehrig's signed contract from 1933. And it's estimated at 80 to 100,000, and it's already at $23,000. So, you know, we've kind of noticed over the past couple of years some baseball items, not so great, but stuff like this that comes up is really a one of a kind item. So that'll be interesting. He really had an eclectic collecting habits. And he collected the best, but it was just very varied. A lot of times you have a collector who concentrates on one thing, like just Marilyn or just Lou Gehrig. But he collected a number of different things. So this is going to be an interesting thing. And one of the greatest things in the collection that's being sold is Babe Ruth's 1938 Dodger coaching uniform. Any idea what the estimate of that is, Marshall?
Initial estimate, $25,000.
Times four.
Wow.
Times eight. It's $200,000 to $400,000.
I was going to say add a zero to that.
Yeah, it's $200,000 to $400,000. And
it's not a Yankee thing.
It's the Dodgers.
I know. I guess that's what makes it rare. So yeah,
no problem. And his coaching, you know, it's also something a little different. So yeah.
So we have some things to follow this week. We'll have some interesting talking points for the future. So
you listen to these prices and you say to yourself, you know, small communities could survive.
Well, here's one that just sold. So earlier this year, we talked about a Star Wars figure that sold for, it was another prototype, and it broke the world record, and it sold for $112,926. Well, that record has been broke, was shattered, I guess. Not so much shattered, but was broken, I think it was 2 days ago. I think it was November 7th. There was a sale. And this was another prototype. And it's a Star Wars Boba Fett J-slot firing rocket. Now, what that means is that the action figure on the back of its, you know, on the back of the action figure, there's a slot and it looks like a J. And that's what it is. Now, these prototypes, what's interesting is that they for this particular one, they gave kind of the numbers, is that they said that about 300 were sent to Kenner to do quality testing and do all kinds of things. And of those 300, they think that only about 25 have still in existence. This particular one is only one of like seven or eight that have been graded. There's a whole grading system and grading company that will put these in protective cases and all of that. What makes this special is that it is a prototype. It was never for sale. It was on display during the New York Toy Fair when buyers in January go and take a look at what they want to put in their stores for the Christmas season that year. So this is one that was rare because of that. It's also the provenance. It belonged to, I think, part of the provenance. It was one of the, I guess it was R&D people at Kenner that did the actual testing. I guess he was able to take one of these home, and he held on to it for a while. So the provenance also added to this. But it ended up selling for $185,850. So we're getting up to the $200,000 mark for some of these prototype Star Wars toys. And remember, they're prototypes. They're not just the Star Wars toys, because this goes out there. And I actually, after the last one in July sold for $112,000, we had people ask us, we had some emails, hey, I've got a whole set of Star Wars toys and they've been played with. Can I get that much? It's like, no, that's very different.
Now, what's interesting about what you're talking about here, though, is so if you're an investor and you invest to make money in the future and you happen to like Star Wars, this is a no-lose situation. Whatever you invest in now that truly is unique and authentic and not out there on the market, because of the length, I mean, it's been 25, 30 years since the first Star Wars, and it's now entering another generation. You can't lose, really. I mean, the value will sooner, unlike it, like the stock market, it might go up and down a little bit, but sooner or later, 10 years from now, it's going to be worth a lot more than it is now. It's guaranteed.
There are certain things. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, there is no guarantee.
We would love to say that, but no. But
that's why we're called the Dream Crusher and the Grand Leveler.
right. But I think, to go to your point, Marshall, is that there's good indications, because history is repeating itself. And it's with these prototypes, that if you have those prototypes, those are the ones that are continually going up, because then there's everything else. And what we deal with in our business is there's the truly one or two or three of a kind items, then there's everything else. And what we try to help people understand is that that's what you have to look at. Because, I mean, I just did an appraisal I'm working on, and an appraisal for a client down in Miami. And she showed me these paintings that have been passed down in her family, one in particular. And she showed me the gallery receipt from 1974. And even in 1974, it was somewhere in the $60,000 to $70,000 price range is what they paid for it. So I was looking at that thinking, oh, okay, well, we'll see, we'll see where this goes. And I did a little research. And coming up this week in New York, there are five paintings by this particular artist that are coming up, and they're all estimated in anywhere from $750,000 to $1.5 million. So not bad. That's not bad either. So some go up, some go down, but she has no idea, because she really hasn't kept up with the market. And just that's why she said, well, you know, I have all this information and now I need to know, where is this? So I got in touch with her and said, hey, there's several coming up for auction. This will give us a good indication of where the market is. That could always turn. And that's why we can't say that there are no guarantees, because, you know, we've seen things in the marketplace that just, you know, well, that there's a disruption. And that's what we just caution about. So when you see these things and hear these numbers, understand how those numbers are achieved and what goes into it. But yeah, you know, there are some people that just held on to things because they love them, and they've increased in value, and that's just a byproduct of collecting. Investing, that's a whole different thing. If you're going into it, you have to go into it with the idea that there are going to be losses, and you may not pick the winners every time.
Well, you know, it is hard to imagine that 42 years after the original Star Wars, that each generation revives that those movies, because even today, if you go back and look at the very first Star Wars movie and you compare it to the latest Star Wars movies, the only thing that's really changed are, you know, like the CGI and all of the effects, but the storyline, it seems to be timeless.
Well, that's because they inject new characters sometimes, right? two movies ahead of time, you start to see characters, and it's a real impressive rollover of storyline and characters, and people, yes, who are new to it, obviously, if they like it, they want to go back and they want to see how the characters developed.
And the development, and yeah, because Disney is now just launching their streaming service today, that, and they own the Star Wars franchise. This is going to be just like Pinocchio and Snow White and Dumbo, is that this is going to just be in our popular culture for a very long time.
Well, you know, one of the things I think that made it so successful, and this, I think this is brilliant, is, I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive that they, when they did the prequel to Star Wars, the three movies that were the prequel, I don't think prequels had been done prior to that. No. And so consequently, you actually, once you watch the prequels, then you have to watch where those prequels ended up. And I think with each successive movie of Star Wars, they've just increase the popularity of the whole, yeah, franchise.
The visibility of the brand. Yeah. So look out for On Broadway, Star Wars, the musical. That's what, yeah, I predict.
Well, the Force has been with us this morning, and I appreciate, even though it's Mercury retrograde, that's what happened in the beginning.
Oh,
so we'll get that in there for Jill Goodman. But I'll speak to you guys next week.
Sounds good.
Have a great week.
Take
Have
care,
a great
guys.
Week, Marshall.
Bye-bye.
Take care, buddy.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.